Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if there's something bugging you, we want to talk about it with you right now on the Basic Gospel program. If you have a Bible question or an issue you're living with and can't quite understand it, something to do with the Christian life perhaps, well, this is your opportunity to get your question answered or your particular issue discussed on Basic Gospel. So give us a call right now. Whenever you're hearing this broadcast, 844-322-2742 is the number that's open for you all the time. Again, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and there is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and welcome to the broadcast, and so excited to have so many of our listeners tuned in right now.
Yeah.
This is going to be a wonderful half hour as we talk about the grace of God, talk about the faithfulness of God. And that's one of the things that we learn about God as we start to trust him, that he Absolutely. Is faithful, that he delivers on all of his promises, that he never lets us down, and we can count on him. And every trial or tribulation that we go through in life and we discover his faithfulness, the fact that he doesn't let us down, it just gives us a deeper resolve to trust him in the next go-around of trials and tribulations that come our way. So God is faithful, and we see that spelled out for us time and time and time again in the Word of God. I particularly like this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's verse 9, and here Paul says this to the Corinthians, God is faithful. That's very clear, straightforward, black and white. God is faithful. We can be faithless. We can be all sorts of things as human beings, but God is faithful. That's who he is. He will always be faithful. He can never be anything else because this is his nature. This is his character. This is his essence. God is faithful. Now, why does Paul say that in this particular instance? Because he says that God is the one who has called us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God desired for us to be in fellowship with him, in fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Son, and he called us. Well, if he's faithful, then that calling has been made sure in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That when we come to faith in Christ, we are now in the fellowship and will never be out of the fellowship. There are many people that think every time that they sin that they are out of fellowship with God and they need to do something to get back into fellowship. And this is where 1 John 1:9 has been a key passage. You sin, you're out of fellowship, God has turned his back on you, you confess that sin, you repent of that sin, God turns back around and he looks at you and you're restored to fellowship.
That's sad, isn't it?
That's sad because that's not what the Word of God says. Here we see the exact opposite, that God in his faithfulness has called us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's a permanent place. That's a permanent relationship that we have because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on, or right before this, he says, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a time when Christ will be revealed. He will come back. But until then, it says this, that he will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our position in the fellowship of his Son is secure.
Yeah.
It's safe. We can't bounce in and out of fellowship. Why? Because God is sustaining us to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about good news. That is good news. If we had to maintain our position, we would fall out of fellowship. We would fall out of favor with God. We would lose our salvation if it was up to us.
Yeah.
But it's not up to us. Why? Because we are faithless. We are not going to stay true based on our human effort and this crazy world that we live in. But God is faithful. He will sustain us to the end. He will deliver us guiltless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, our fellowship with God is secure. It is permanent. It is everlasting. We can never go in and out. We are always in fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son.
It's all we could ever hope or expect or imagine. And what good news that is, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines. Love for you to be a part of today's broadcast at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. We want to hear your voice on this edition. You know, Bob, you have talked about your excitement at teaming up with Andrew Farley, of course, for the Grace Intensive Bible Conference that we call United. Now, this October will be the first opportunity before COVID, of course, that our Basic Gospel friends and supporters have gathered in person or will be able to learn and celebrate God's grace in Jesus Christ. But also, here's an opportunity to mix and mingle with others who are associated with and who support Andrew's ministry called The Grace Message. So it's going to be a great time to immerse ourselves in the clear, solid biblical teaching of two of the finest grace teachers of our time, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. And we invite you to celebrate what connects us at this exciting Bible conference that we call United, October 15th through the 17th in our ministry hometown, Louisville, Texas. You can go online right now and get information and go ahead and register for this dynamic conference. Again, you can do that at basicgospel.net/united. By the grace of God, we're getting together again, Bob, and it's going to be a great time. And again, we want to send our listeners, all of you that are listening, to basicgospel.net/united.
Yeah, there's so much that's been built up in us over the last year, having to isolate and separate ourselves from others. Many churches have been shut down and are just now opening back up. So there's this pent-up excitement to get connected again, to just have some human interaction and true, genuine fellowship. And I think this title for our conference is just apropos, based on what we've been through, based on what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. It unites us together as a people, sharing in a common life, the very life of Jesus Christ, living it out, sharing it together within this new covenant that we live in today. So we're going to talk all about that. It's going to be an exciting event.
Yeah.
You will get to meet people from all over the country. And so don't miss this. Do not miss it. Now, as far as weather and those sort of things in Dallas in the month of October, October is always the best month of the year here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. The temperature is nice. The skies are just this beautiful blue. It is just a pristine time to come and share in this event right here in Louisville, Texas. Like you said, all the information on how you can register is at basicgospel.net/united. So come be a part of it. Don't miss this exciting event, October 15th through the 17th.
Going to be a great time, and I'm looking forward to it also, Bob. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. If you have a question, a Bible question, or some life issue you're discussing or want to discuss, if it's something that's bothering you, well, we'll discuss it with you. We'll be glad to take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. 844-322-2742, lines available right now. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hello. Thanks so much, guys, for taking my call. This is Joe. I'd commented yesterday on Facebook and asked a question, in particular about Romans chapter 8, and I'd listed verses 5 through 13, but actually my question would, to make it more simple, is verse 13. Could you jump into that and maybe help explain that to me to make a little bit more sense? Thanks so much for your guys' ministry. Thanks for what you do. Watch every day. Try to watch every day, and it's just a blessing what you do. Thank you for spreading the gospel of Christ.
Well, Joe, thanks for those kind words. We certainly appreciate it, and thanks for asking this question. When you look through Romans chapter 8, this is really a culmination of all that has gone before. So Paul is bringing us to a crescendo as far as his arguments are concerned, the fact that we have died in Christ, the fact that we have been buried in Christ, the fact that we have been raised to walk in the newness of life. And so here in chapter 8, Paul starts out the chapter drawing a contrast, those who are in the flesh lost and those who are in the spirit saved. So when you see flesh and spirit in this particular passage, you are seeing that black and white contrast. Those who are in the flesh, that means those that are lost. Those who are in the spirit, that means those who are saved. So we see in verse 9, Paul says this, "You, however," and he's talking about those who have come to Jesus Christ, who are in Christ. It says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it simply means this, that God has given you the gift of His Spirit. So His Spirit has come to live inside of you. Now, that is saying a lot. It's a very simple statement, but it's packed with all kinds of theology. I mean, it is pregnant with the truth of the gospel. So for God to send His Spirit to take up residence in us, He had to do something for that to occur. So He cleansed us. He forgave all of our sins. He took away our sins once and for all. He forgave them through His shed blood on the cross. He declared us to be righteous in God's sight. He made us righteous. He made us holy, set us apart for God's use. He made us fully alive together with Christ. So these are the things that God did in order to send His Spirit to take up residence in us. God's Spirit isn't going to live in a dirty vessel. God's Spirit isn't going to live in an unforgiven vessel. God's Spirit isn't going to live in an unrighteous vessel. God's Spirit isn't going to live in an unholy vessel. God's Spirit isn't going to live in a dead vessel. Yeah. God's Spirit is clean. God's Spirit is righteous. God's Spirit is holy. God's Spirit is alive. And so we had to be made compatible with God's Spirit, and that's what the gospel did. So now that we come to Christ, God takes us out of the flesh, out of Adam, out of darkness, and places us into Christ, in the Spirit. So that's our realm of existence right now. We'll never be in the flesh again.
Right.
So we are in the Spirit, and the fact that God's Spirit dwells in us is confirmation of that truth. And he goes on to say, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So those are the folks who are in the flesh. They do not have the Spirit of God. Those who are in the Spirit do have the Spirit of God. So down in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Well, living according to the flesh, that's just somebody who is lost, and their sole purpose in life is to live to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, what's the end result of that? Well, death, eternal death. They're dead spiritually already, and when the end comes, if they have not received Christ Jesus, their eternal judgment is eternal death. They're just going to remain dead eternally. So if you live according to the flesh, death is the ultimate end. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. Those desires are housed in these members of ours, in this body of ours. But when we come to Christ, we recognize that, hey, that's not the way of life. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So, but if by the Spirit, so we're living by the Spirit. Why? Because we're led by the Spirit of God. We're children of God. And in so doing, we have put to death the deeds of the body, and eternal life is ours.
You said one time that there is something in the core of our being that sin cannot penetrate. I thought it was an astute observation of you, and of course it has to do with the Holy Spirit living
yes.
within us. So it is an amazing thing that God has done, that we live and housed in these bodies of sin and death and everything, but in the core of our being, there's this very, yeah. very special thing called the Holy Spirit that
right.
nothing can penetrate.
Well, and the Holy Spirit has connected himself to our human spirit.
Right.
And so there's a connection there that no one can touch.
Yeah.
Sin can't touch. Lies can't touch. Satan can't touch. That is safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
And as we rest in that and learn more about that, our minds start to align with that reality. And our attitudes start to align with that reality, and then our words and our deeds and our actions are going to start to align with that reality.
Yeah.
So it's part of this hear it, believe it, live it paradigm that God has put forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Ain't it good?
Yes, it is.
844-322-2742. We want you to come on in, friends, and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have something you'd like to talk about, well, hey, we like to talk, so give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Alden is watching us on our YouTube channel, and he has this question: what works do we do and pray for now that we are in Christ and Christ lives in us? And this is a wonderful question. If you look at the book of Titus, for example, you see seven different occasions in that little book, three chapters, takes less than 5 minutes to read the entire book of Titus. But in there's seven times where Paul talks about us doing good.
Yeah.
He talks about us as a people eager to do good. So what in the world is he talking about there? What is he referring to? What are these good deeds? What are these works that we're supposed to be involved in? Well, one, we need to understand that God has prepared these works for us beforehand that we should walk in. So there's this great passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Verse 10 says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we've been made for good works.
Yeah.
We've been created for good works. We couldn't do good works when we were lost. Why? We were in the flesh. And the flesh was dictating things that were hostile toward God, that were rebellious toward God. So all that we could produce in the flesh was sin.
Yeah.
Now, there's no way that we can cut that to make that be good. That's not good. But now that we are in Christ, we have been created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we don't have to worry about trying to figure out what these works are. God has already done that for us. He's prepared these beforehand that we should walk in. Well, how are we going to know when they come about? Well, I think it's going to be pretty obvious for us that we're going to be walking in love. The works that have been prepared beforehand are works of love. Now, love is more than just a feeling. It's more than a disposition or an attitude of the heart. Love spells itself out in action.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we, in relationships, we can get all messed up with each other. There can be a divide between us. Well, what's a work that God has prepared beforehand? Well, it's a work of reconciliation. It's a work of stepping out in faith and saying to somebody that you've wronged, hey, I'm sorry. Let's work through this. Let's preserve this relationship. Let's be reconciled one to another. So that's something that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. So we forgive and we receive forgiveness. We love and we receive love. We're patient with one another. We choose to understand where each of us are coming from so that we can work through our relationship issues one with another. We persevere one with another. So these are the things that have been prepared beforehand for us to walk in. So it's a walk of love.
Sure.
And that's what Paul is getting at. And we've been created in Christ Jesus for these very works. So it's not something that we're producing through human effort. It's not something that we are figuring out through our own intellect or through our own understandings. No, these are simply the byproducts or what we encounter as we trust the Lord each and every day, and we depend upon His Spirit to lead us into truth, to lead us down the paths of righteousness. And when we do, we're going to see these works of righteousness kind of follow suit.
Yes, indeed. Well, good to hear from Alden. Hope you're listening and are watching, and that's been a help to you. Keep listening and keep watching. We love hearing from you and all of our listeners. I have this question from Jerry, who lives in Lancaster, Texas. Bob, he says, what does God's word mean when it says there is wisdom at a multitude of counselors? I've often been advised not to listen to a multitude of counsel because it can be confusing and overwhelm a person. What's your take on this?
Well, I think that's a good question. You know, the body of Christ really is a multitude of counselors, and I think that's probably what it's referring to when we engage in a body of believers. We have the full complements of the gifts of the Spirit engaged there. And I think as we hear kind of different perspectives, we can be encouraged, and we can, find what Christ's full answer is on any given subject. So a lot of times, when somebody comes for to us for counseling, if somebody sits down with me for counseling, I have some gifts that I can share, but I don't have the full menu of spiritual gifts. No one does. That's why we need the body of Christ. Years ago, we always would say, we want you to come in for counseling, and we'll spend a little bit of time with you and try to figure out kind of where, you know, some of the lies that you've latched on to, and some of the things that are causing the feelings that you are experiencing, and we'll give you a few helpful steps to take. But then we want you to be involved in a body of believers, and the full counsel of God is going to be made known to you in that body, in the multitude of counselors within the body of Christ. So I see it in those terms. So
okay, very good.
I think that's a good way to look at it.
Thanks for your question, Jerry. And from Lancaster, Texas to Leander, Texas, this is from Ron. He says, how important is it to understand the history, setting, and culture of the times when Jesus taught?
Well, I think that's important for us to understand those things, but it's not vitally necessary. Why? Because the Word of God is spiritual in nature, and so we need spiritual understanding. And God has given us His Spirit to understand the things that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And that can be understood by any generation, by any group of people, in any culture, anywhere around the world. And so we're not necessarily going to know all the details of what was going on back in the days of Jesus, the Roman Empire, and all of that sort of thing. But the Spirit can give us understanding, can give us the interpretation of God's Word so that it can be practical and relevant to where we are here and now.
And thank you, Bob, for that. And it's great to hear from our listeners. And friends, thank you for joining us today for Basic Gospel. A reminder that we have a great resource we'd like to send you. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to keep the message of grace and life in Jesus Christ going forward. It's called Love Is, and it's an in-depth look at the love of God and how He sheds His love abroad upon all of us. We'll send you a copy as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel this month. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that if you have questions concerning the Christian life or a Bible passage you can't quite understand or an issue you're finding hard to deal with, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.